If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Moses, the great mediator between God and man, hardened his heart at Meribah and Massah in the desert. He disobeyed God and was banished, forbidden to enter the promised land. The task would be entrusted to Joshua. We are called this weekend to acknowledge God's authority and to obey him. The word authority means author's rights, the rights of the author or manufacturer. In health, sport or business, we acknowledge authority. If the doctor says take these pills, or the surgeon says I want a cut here for your well-being, we submit, we obey. If the umpire says it's out, or the ref blows his whistle, we obey, we submit. In business, manufacturers put instructions with appliances to teach us so that we make the most of what they have produced. Go out and buy a new vacuum cleaner, or perhaps one of those shed kits, a garden shed kit. You're a fool if you don't follow the instructions. Submit to the authority, because then you'll get the most out of that which you have purchased. Well, in all of these realms, we do submit because we want to be well off. We want to be successful. We want to have good health. But in moral matters, we don't want to submit. In fact, the moral crisis, which is an eclipse of the conscience and denial of the sin, goes back to after the First World War, a crisis in authority then. And of course, with the rebellion of the 60s, there is utter chaos in society now, fostered by relativism. My opinion is as good as yours. So the issue of authority, or God's authority in our life, for many people is obsolete and meaningless. But that was not always the case. And if we don't submit to God's authority in our morals, to whose authority do we submit? Over 100 years ago, Father Robert Hugh Benson wrote some interesting books on these pertinent topics. Father Benson was the son of the Archbishop of Canterbury, the highest ranking Anglican prelate in England. He became an Anglican minister, and after his father's death, travelled abroad, went to the Holy Land, Palestine. Jerusalem can have an effect on you. It did on him. He went to Rome, his eyes were open to the wider, bigger church, and came back with a renewed interest in history, and eventually broke free of his Anglican shackles and admitted that the church Christ founded was the Catholic Church. It caused quite a stir in England when he converted and became a Catholic because of his high-ranking position. He then went on and became a Catholic priest and would write various novels, of which his most famous is Lord of the World, about the end times. Some of the insights he shares in that book regarding the culture of death are chilling and most enlightening. But he also wrote other books regarding the Protestant Reformation and the period of Queen Elizabeth in the 1600s, 16th century. One book called By What Authority is quite revealing. Catholics were persecuted for going to Mass. It was illegal. Mass was in secret. You were forced to go to the Anglican service on Sunday and checked if you didn't go. But faithful Catholics would go and find a priest and attend a secret Mass. And of course, those priests were hunted. And if anyone was supporting a priest or hiding a priest, you'd be put to death. In that book, By What Authority, he challenges the right of a Catholic monarch, be it king or queen, to claim to have authority, absolute authority, over God's church. And rightfully so. King Henry VIII acknowledged the Pope as the visible head of the church on earth, established by Christ himself. He placed himself as the head of the church because the church would not acknowledge his morals, would not grant him permission to divorce Catherine and marry Anne. So if I can't change the church's teaching, I'll change the church, and with that, its headship. No one on earth can claim to have the authority of Peter. The charism of the papacy is there to safeguard the teachings of the church. He who hears you, hears me, says Christ, and the you refers to Peter. Peter speaks in the place of Jesus, so that we might know what God wants of us and how we ought to behave. Many people confuse what we call impeccability with infallibility. Impeccability means unable to sin. The Pope can sin. We all sin. Infallibility means unable to teach error. And popes cannot teach error in faith and morals. They can make mistakes in government or social or political opinion, but in faith and morals, no pope has ever contradicted another. They all acknowledge the dogma of the Trinity, the existence of angels, the real presence of the Lord, the sacrifice of the Mass, that certain sins are always wrong, such as abortion or missing Mass on Sunday. So we follow the Pope's teaching because the Pope is there to guide us and direct us regarding what Christ would want us to do and how we ought to live. But if the Pope speaks on a social issue, he can make mistakes. If the Pope, for example, says, I think in Australia that the Indigenous people ought to be acknowledged and that they should cancel Australia Day, well, that's his opinion. He can err in that matter. And that's not binding on Catholics. But if he teaches on a moral matter, then we are bound to submit, because that's the voice of Peter speaking to us today in 2018. And so we thank God that we have a church to guide us. We thank God that that church was founded by Christ. And by submitting, acknowledging the authority of the church, we submit to God. Moses did not. He hardened his heart. May we have an open heart, a willing heart, to hear the voice of God and to listen and learn.